Auckland Council says the city's stormwater network could never have coped with the intense rainfall it's had over the past 5 days. They say overland water flows, paths are what are important when the rain gets too much for that pipe system. Nick Weiger is head of planning for Auckland Council's Healthy Waters. Good morning, Nick.
Kia ora, Corin.
So how is everything running off at the moment? Because we're hearing, obviously, reports, isolated reports around the city, and clearly can see it, of water still pooling, surface flooding. Is that, are there any areas that are causing you particular concern in terms of them running off?
I'm aware of a few, sort of anecdotally, a few spots on the shore. I haven't got a full picture. But interesting that, you know, I hear it just in that item before me, you know, talking that the rain wasn't as bad as might have been expected, and yet, you know, we still got 40 millimetres an hour, which is an incredibly intense amount of rainfall. And so, you know, rainfall intensity is the key here, and that's why you mentioned overland flow paths. That the key to surviving these events is having those overland flow paths clear. So that when the network is overwhelmed, because it will, the pipe network will get overwhelmed. It's not designed to take every event. And so overland flow paths are a big key to this.
Obviously, some of those overland flow paths, though, are through people's properties.
They are. And it's, you know, I think we've seen the damage that water can do. We've seen a lot of, you know, we've obviously seen properties in floodplains as well, where you know, they're up, you know, a floor deep in water, but we've seen a lot of pictures of water, you know, charging at high velocity between houses, and those are the overland flow paths we're talking about. They're those sort of release points. They're the low point of the network.
So are you saying that even if we had all the money in the world and time and could rebuild all of the pipes and the drainage systems, it wouldn't matter?
Yes.
Because you still have to have those overland flow paths, which then does come back to that question that Wayne Brown raised about whether houses are in the right places.
Yeah, look, it was a fair point. We know there's a bunch of houses in Auckland, you know, many thousands that sit within our modelled 100-year floodplains. And I expect then when we do the wash-up of this, we'll find that's pretty much what we got. And so that's, you know, there's an issue we have to deal with in terms of properties that are already there.
But that issue is a council issue, though, right? Councils consent those houses.
Yeah, but understand that the stormwater networks that we were talking about were designed based on rainfall intensities, that are not what we're getting today. And so, you know, at the time they were built, there might be overland flow paths that were very seldom engaged, and now we're regularly getting rainfall events.
But no excuse for anything in the last, 10 years or so, when we've known about, well, clearly known about the damaging impacts of climate change on these sort of events.
Yeah, and I don't think we're seeing that either in terms of new greenfield developments, but that's a really important part, Corin. You know, an important part of this is to understand our floodplains and not to put more people in them. So, you know, there's what can we do for people already in them, but in terms of development, yeah, absolutely, we need to use events like this to understand that what flood risk is, and all the time looking at, you know, what land should we be opening up.
So do you think, because this is an interesting debate, because there have been some who are coming out saying housing intensification as per the new rules that have come through or coming through, is it going to make this worse? And then others say, no, you can plan for that with the sponge city type idea. Where's your thoughts on that?
I struggle with the concept of sponge city at events of this level. It's not that I don't support the concept. They're a great idea for day-to-day flows, but we, you know, At these sorts of events, there's no water getting in the ground. You know, the rainfall intensity is so high that effectively every surface behaves as if it's concrete. And so, you know, the reality that the answer to resiliency here is understanding that there needs to be places for the water to go.
And can that be done, though, with more intensification, three-storey buildings?
bear in mind that in terms of intensification, going up makes very little difference. So as you, it's about increase in impervious area. So a lot of the intensification we're seeing actually doesn't create any extra impervious area. Okay. Because you're
Nick, I've got to ask you one quick question before you go, because one of a resident we spoke to was concerned about water running off into lava caves. Is there anything to worry about there?
I don't know exactly what she's talking about. I'm going to take a guess. She probably lives somewhere on the isthmus, on the lava, and actually they're a key part of the drainage network. So there are large parts of, you know, around Sandringham and Mount Eden where getting water in the aquifer and in the lava caves is exactly what you want to do. It is one of those examples of the Sponge City you mentioned before.
Very good. Thank you for that. Interesting stuff. Nick Weigar, the Head of Planning for Auckland Council's Healthy Waters